ask you to turn once again to the book of Jude. I'll read the first three verses in your hearing today. I still have you on my heart to preach through the book of Jude. It won't be the easiest thing, so I hope that you will be in prayer for me as I continue to read through it and study. Today my subject is contained in an expression in verse 3. And my subject is the common salvation. That is my subject today. But let me read the first three verses of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. And that's just hard not to comment on. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It seems to me apparent that the apostle had already written a letter to these people, and it had apparently been on the subject of or concerning what he here calls the common salvation. Well, that has been buzzing around in my bonnet all week, that it's called the common salvation. So, we need to think about what that word common means. You know, the word common can mean lots of different things, can't it? The two definitions that I'm going to bring forward here before we get into our subject, the word common can mean, this is the common salvation now. The common salvation. Now the word common can mean belonging equally to more than one. Right? We have this in common, something that belongs equally to more than one. Brother Harold and I have in common extreme good looks. Merciful heavens. Well, he does. In common, things that, you know, we have together, that we share alike. Right? The other definition of the word common, which y'all bear with me, is ordinary. Common means ordinary. Undistinguished, of inferior quality or value. That can also mean common, right? Are y'all thinking? So the word common can mean belonging equally to more than one, or it can mean, kind of, you know, of inferior quality or value. Well, point number one, and Lord bless me today. I want to bring four points forward here. The first is that the common salvation, what he here calls the common salvation, I do believe it's speaking of eternal salvation. The common salvation is not common to all men. That is, not every human being is going to be saved. Amen? I mean, that is just apparent. The Bible's clear about that. And you know, there are people, I promise you, there are commentators and thinkers and philosophers and theologians who don't like the idea that not everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, I started to be kind of ugly and say it doesn't matter whether we like it or not. And that's kind of true, right? Whether I like it or not, in a manner of speaking, it doesn't matter. What really matters is what does God's Word say about it? What does God's Word say about it? Now we know, let me remind you once again of the doctrine of original sin. Adam's sin, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 18, which I'm not going to read, Adam's sin resulted in the condemnation of the entire human race to burn in hell. Judgment judgment came upon all men that were in Adam, and that's everybody, to condemnation. So as a result of the original sin, everybody in human race is going to go to hell, and I'm going to tell you right now, that is right. Because of sin. We see, we don't think about how serious a thing sin is. Who do we? We think it's just so, like a minor quirk. Right? Sin is not a minor quirk. Sin is rebellion against holy God, is it not? All right? As a result of that, here's what people deserve. And I get, you know, people, everybody deserves to be separated from God forever. There are people that don't even like to hear that doctrine, but that is true because of the sin of Adam. And let's face it, even our own sinfulness would bring that upon us, wouldn't it? God, however, chose to save the sheep out of the human race, did he not? But those that are not saved, whether we like it or not, whether it breaks our heart or not, even if we may unwittingly think that God is too severe in his judgment, those who are not saved will be separated from God forever. Here's what the Bible says in Revelation, in Matthew chapter 25. Why am I saying Revelation? I don't have any idea. In Matthew chapter 25, where it talks about the great white throne judgment at the end of time, you remember he tells the sheep, come, you blessed of my Father, you know, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Remember that there in Matthew chapter 25? That's what's going to happen to the sheep. But then to those that are not the sheep, the unsaved, here's what is going to be said to them. Depart from me. This is Matthew 25 and 41, if you want to go look at it. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And what that everlasting fire means, I don't know whether it's a literal fire or not. There wasn't literal fire on Christ on the cross, but it means, down there, it means everlasting punishment. So there's just no doubt that what here the apostle calls the common salvation is not common to all men. Okay? However, bless your heart, it is common to all the sheep. It's common for all the sheep. They're all going to get it. And I love to think about it. You know why they're going to get it? Bless your soul, it's not because of what they have done. It's not because they said a few words, made a right decision. How many? Boy, even if you make a right decision, don't we make... I think I would be willing to say I have made more wrong ones than I have made right ones. Amen? At least that's the way I feel. This common salvation is common to all the sheep. It belongs equally to them all. In spite of the fact that what they deserve because of original sin and because of their own sin, what they deserve is to be separated from God, they are going to come into possession of this common salvation because of what Christ has done for them. In spite of what we've done. In spite of what we are. Hallelujah. So it's all the sheep. Now, here's what Matthew 1:21 said. We sang the hymn, He Shall Save His People All. Matthew 1:21 says, He shall save His people from their sins. I love that. That's the common salvation. That's the salvation's common to all the sheep. All of them are going to be saved. And I love, it even tells us what we're going to be saved from. We're going to be saved from our sins. Aren't you glad that's plural? And I don't think there's an exception there. Glory be to God. Our sins. All of them. He shall save His people from their sins. And the only thing that ever does cause anybody to go to hell in the first place is sin. That's all. The original sin and that's it. He shall save His people from their sins. And let me also, let me read to you John chapter 6. If you want to turn to it, go right ahead. John 6, 37, 38, and 39. The common salvation is eternal salvation. It's not common to all men, but it is common to all the sheep, all of God's family. That's who it's common to. And listen to this. I love it. So, he shall save his people from their sins. By the way, don't forget Ephesians chapter 1. He chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. God the Father put them in Christ way back then. And here's what Christ himself said about it. John 6:37. Just listen to this. As Brother Fulmer used to say, let's just waller around in this a minute. All that the Father giveth me. Okay. Who? How many? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. By the way, that coming to them means coming regeneration. Doesn't mean they make up their minds. They're dead in sins. They're drawn irresistibly by the power of God. All that the Father giveth me, that's all the sheep, all for whom this salvation is common, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then look at this. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That may be the best, my favorite part. Because if the Lord's going to change his mind about somebody, because he's sorry and low down and worthless and wretched, it's going to be me. I tell you, if the Lord ever loved you, he'll always love you. If the Lord ever thought of you as saved before the foundation of the world, he will always think of you as saved. If the Lord purposed to save you before time, he will never go against that purpose to save you. He will bring it to completion. Aren't you glad to hear that? It's in spite of what we are. It's in spite of what we do. Actually, God's saving us from what we are. He's saving us from what we do to a whole new life, a whole new kind of life, a whole new sphere of existence that you and I, just to be honest, can't even comprehend today. I want you to think about what it would be like never to want to sin, never to be tempted to sin. All that everything you ever think about and want and desire, everything you ever do, is holy and acceptable to God. I would ask you, how many minutes have you lived like that in your life? Probably, I don't know. I won't speak for you. There aren't very minutes when I don't have stray thoughts go through my mind. When I don't want for something I don't need. Okay, I've got to hurry up here. But God is saving us from all this. Isn't that great? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Lord's not going to change his mind about you. The Lord will not change his mind about you. Don't forget, this is the God that changes not. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That is so reassuring. I'm the Lord, I change not. Do not ever believe that God wants people to go to heaven and they're not going to go. I am the Lord, I change not. Okay, for I came down. Here's Christ talking now. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In case you're wondering what that is. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Now who gave them to Christ? God the Father gave them to Christ. Y'all see that right there? Of all which he hath given me, I should lose what? Nothing. He's not going to lose any one of the sheep. Not only that, he's not going to lose any part of any one of the sheep. Their bodies, he's going to resurrect every one of their bodies. He's not lost one of them. Isn't that great? You say, well, I don't understand that. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand it either. I don't understand a brain big enough to have all that straight, do you? Can you imagine, you just look at humanity, can you imagine God has every person on this planet, he knows them by name, every one of them. The hairs on your head are numbered. Can you imagine that? That's what the Bible says about this God. Okay. I should lose nothing, but do what? Raise it up again. And when's the Lord going to raise all of them up? When's this common salvation going to come to its ultimate fruition? The common salvation that's common to all the sheep, when will it come into full fruition? At the last day. At the last day, y'all. That's when the Lord's going to come back and get us and take us home to glory. Last day. All right, that's point number one. Point number two. Point number two, the common salvation is eternal salvation. It is not gospel salvation. The common salvation for all of the sheep. Now, this common salvation is not for all men. Everybody understands that, right? It's the common salvation that's common for all the sheep, all the family of God. But this common salvation, second thing I want to mention, is it is not and cannot be gospel salvation. And here's why. Several reasons why. One, there are sheep, have been sheep, there are sheep now, and there will continue to be sheep who never hear any gospel. You see, this eternal salvation is not dependent on what men do. It's dependent upon what God has done. Isn't that great? And it's not up to men to do something so that this is brought to fruition. It's all worked by God. God does it. That's how come Christ could say, y'all listen, that's how come Christ could say in John 6, I will lose nothing. Because it's not up to men to get it done. It's up to God to get it done. And God never fails. I spoke at a funeral for a stillborn baby once. And it broke my heart like I can't describe. And all I could do was read the 23rd Psalm and say, with God, all things are possible, even the salvation of this baby. You believe that? Boy, I do. Okay, so, there are sheep. Let me ask you, what about that baby? Did that baby have a chance to hear the gospel? I think not. But that doesn't matter. If that baby's one of the sheep, that baby's in heaven right now. Are you with me? Consciously praising God. Isn't that great? So this common salvation is not gospel salvation because a bunch of the sheep never hear the gospel. I would even go so far as to say it is likely that most of the Lord's sheep never have a chance to hear the gospel. Now, I don't know that for sure. But I would like you to understand and think about the fact that there has only been a New Testament gospel for 2,000 years now. You understand me? There's only been a New Testament gospel for 2,000 years. What about all the time before that New Testament gospel? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Salvation's of the Lord is what I'm telling you. Well, and you know what? We need to realize that. And some of us might have to go through something to realize that. You remember what Jonah had to go through to realize that? What did Jonah have to go through to realize that salvation was of the Lord? Now, I hope you'll get it before you have to go through that. 3 days, 3 nights in the guts of a whale. My mind went back to what I used to tell the kids. We used to study Jonah. I would say, what did Jonah say in the belly of the whale? Did he say, man, it stinks in here? Bet it did. Did Jonah say, boy, it's dark in here? Imagine it was. Did Jonah say, man, I got a crick in my neck because he's in a ball in the guts of a whale? That's not what he said. What he said is salvation of the Lord. He's saying, if I ever get out of this mess, it's going to be because God gets me out. And that's so true whether we're in the belly of the whale or whether we're in sin. If we're going to get out, it's going to be because God gets us out. But anyway, okay, there are sheep who never hear the gospel. Say amen. There are statistics that say that only 1/3 at any time in the history of the world, and even including all of the history of the world, that only about 1/3 of the human population has ever had a chance to hear any gospel of any kind. Don't you tell me that 1/3 is the limit to how many people God can save. Won't work. All right. There are also sheep who hear the gospel and don't obey it. Isn't that right? What did the Lord say? I'm going to lose nothing. If we make their eternal salvation dependent on obeying the gospel, we're all lost. You hear me? There's not a person in this room that hasn't rejected the gospel to some degree or other, including myself. It cannot be gospel salvation because there are some sheep who hear the gospel and obey it. But it's all to varying degrees of maturity, isn't it? You remember that story about the ones who receive the word, they bring forth fruit to varying degrees, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold? There are just different levels, aren't there? And I'll tell you something else why it can't be gospel salvation. And so listen, what you understand? If there's different levels, it can't be common, everybody having all equal, right? Y'all with me? You with me now? Okay, another reason why, there are sheep who hear it and obey it and do okay for a while, and then those sheep depart the faith. Isn't that right? There are sheep that happens. I don't like it. I wish it never happened. It breaks my heart when it does happen. And I hope it breaks my heart, not because, you know, well, the church has fewer members, but because of what I know, that individual's life is not going to be as good. They're not going to be as happy. They're not going to be as fulfilled. But there are sheep who hear the gospel and obey it and stick it for a while, but then they depart, they for whatever the reason. And that, by the way, is taught us in the scriptures in the parable of the sower. Y'all remember that? All the different things, when he sows the seed, all the different things that choke the word and cause the individual to become unfruitful. So there are children of God that they, you know, sheep that hear the gospel, obey it, and then depart. I want to stress they are still sheep. They are just disobedient sheep. Is there such a thing as a disobedient sheep? Your thought should be there's no other thing other than disobedient sheep. That's what your thought, you should have thought to yourself, what do you mean is there such a thing as a disobedient sheep? There's not anything else but disobedient sheep. We're all disobedient to varying degrees, are we not? And I just shudder to think how disobedient I am myself. And finally, again, this common salvation cannot be gospel salvation because there are even sheep who hear the gospel, sit under the sound of the gospel for years and years and maybe even a lifetime, and really sort of never get it, never get beyond the basics. Isn't that right? These things ought not to be. That's not the way it should be, but that's the way it is. Isn't that right? So all of that, and that's not the most happy things to say to you today, but all of that is to get you to understand as we go along here that this common salvation, remember Jude had written to these people about the common salvation is eternal salvation. It is not common to all men. It is common to all the sheep. Okay? And it is not gospel salvation, because obviously not all the sheep have the gospel or the blessings of the gospel in common. If you understand what I'm saying. And I was worried about this sermon because I don't want it to be gobbledygook. I mean, I don't want it to be, you know, terms that are hard to understand. So y'all pray for me as I continue. Now then, the third thing that I wanted to mention in this is having to do with a second definition. Remember, the second definition of the word common is of inferior quality or value. And I want to tell you that this salvation I'm describing to you, this eternal salvation, which is not common to all men, but is common to all the sheep, I want you to know it is most certainly not of inferior value. It is not of a low quality. In fact, I think I would be willing to say that this salvation is the single most precious, costly. Now, it didn't cost you anything. Say amen. It's the single most precious, most unique, most costly commodity in the universe. First of all, it's something that's really going to last. I love to think of what in the world lasts in this life. Well, trials and pains in the neck, I guess. But what, you know, good things just seem to just, don't they? I am 57 years old. My wife reminded me of that here not too long ago. She reminded me. Here's what she told me. You're no longer the young kid on the block. You're one of the old preachers now. That hurt my feelings. But anyway, I'm 57 years old, and I promise you, the days in which I feel really good and frisky are not as many as they used to be. Okay, maybe frisky. Well, I think maybe frisky wasn't the word I should have used. Peppy. You know, revved up. The days days when I just, you know, when there, you know, when I feel so good, you know, just kind of bubbling over, those days are not as common as they used to be, you know. Oh, well. I tell you, this eternal salvation, this salvation is going to last forever. It's just, it's the most incredible thing. It's the most valuable, most costly, most precious thing. It's something that you and I really, really, really believe that you and I, as God's children, even though we're sinners, even though we blow it, even though we go astray, even though we have evil thoughts, even though we may say ugly things, all of us need to really, really lay hold on the fact that we are God's children. You say, well, I don't always act like it. I understand. And the fact that it grieves you that you don't always act like it is strong evidence that you are one of the Lord's. This common salvation is not mundane. It's not boring, blasé. It is of tremendous quality. And you think about it. Consider what this salvation cost. Now I say again, it didn't cost you anything. But this salvation did cost somebody a lot. And I would like for you to consider what it cost the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll remind you that He was the second person in the Trinity. He was with God the Father before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that? He was the second person, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1. The same was in the beginning with God. He was God. All things were made by Him. You know that. That John chapter 1. And then, of course, the little epistle, 1 John, says the same thing. Christ was the Word, the second person in the Trinity. He existed for an eternity before creation. He never was created. He was the Creator. And He was with God. Wherever God was back then, He was with God for that eternity and totally 100% equal to God and enjoying the presence of God, and He was God Himself and He needed nothing. And the unity between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit was absolutely, teetotally, 100% perfect before the foundation of the world for an eternity. These three were one in total agreement, total harmony. Y'all with me? Christ didn't need anything. The second person in the Trinity didn't need anything. He didn't need, y'all listen, He didn't need a human body. He didn't need it. But if you were going to go to heaven, you needed for Him to have one. Y'all with me? So this God, who existed for an eternity, in absolute perfection and happiness and bliss and self-sufficiency, this God took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh through a miracle of the virgin birth. He did that so you could have what is a very uncommon common salvation. I'm talking so you could have this common salvation that's for all the sheep, but it's the most uncommon thing I ever heard of. The most unique, expensive, costly thing. So He came down here, born of a virgin. And then not only that, what did He do? For 33 and a half to 35 years, He lived down here. How would you like that? You talk about downsizing. You know, Becky and I we may have to downsize someday. Sometimes downsizing is a good thing, isn't it? Let's admit it. Getting rid of some of our junk. Getting rid of some of our junk, you know. Anyway. Can you imagine the downsizing? The Son of God, who inhabited eternity with the Father, now inhabits a mortal body and lives on a planet. Walks around in the dust of Judea. Can you imagine? And He did that not because He needed it. He did that so you and I could have this uncommon, common salvation. And He lived an absolutely spotless, perfect, blemishless, holy life to teetotal, absolute perfection for every moment of his life, every day of his life, even as a child. Total perfection, sinless perfection, and not sinless perfection inside of people, because there were a lot of people that thought he was possessed of devils. Imagine it. But I'm talking about he lived a life of sinless perfection in the opinion of the one that mattered, and that was Almighty God. He said, I always do those things which please my Father. Can you say that? The reason, see, you can't say that, and I can't say that, and that's why we had to have Christ who could say that. He lived this absolutely perfect life. And the fact that Christ was born of a virgin is why he was without original sin. Amen? And that is an incredible thing to even think about, isn't it? That he didn't have a father, an earthly father. So he started out sinless, is what I'm saying, because he was conceived of God. He was the only begotten Son of God, begotten in the womb of a woman by the Spirit of God. He's the only one begotten that way. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And because of that, he was sinless to start out with. He didn't have a sinful nature like all of the rest of us had. But what I think amazes me even more than that is he stayed sinless when people were being mean to him. What is the natural carnal reaction when people are mean to you? What's the natural? It's the automatic reaction, isn't it? The automatic reaction, you don't have to think about it. The automatic reaction is to lash out and get, isn't it? Can you imagine your Savior never did that? Every time I think about this, I know I've said this to you before, every time I think about this, I think about the fact that Christ never even sinned as a child. Christ never went through the terrible twos. I want you to think about that. I want you to give God, I want you to praise God for that. And here's the glory of it. Christ never went through the terrible twos. He never sinned even as a two-year-old. Think about that. When Mary said to Jesus, come here. Listen. When he was 2 years old and Mary said to Jesus, come here. He did it. He obeyed. The first time. He didn't have to be told 17 times. He obeyed the first time. Listen to me. And his obedience bought your salvation. Listen. Somebody had to obey. Somebody had to live a perfect life. You couldn't live a perfect life. In other words, what I'm telling you is every time, all during Christ's life, his entire life, your eternal salvation, this common salvation I'm trying to describe to you, which is not a very common thing, it was hanging in the balance. And it was hanging in the balance determined by whether Christ was going to live this perfect life, because you've got to have righteousness imputed to you from somewhere. And you don't have any of your own. When he's 2 years old, y'all, when he's 2, 3, 4 years old, everything he does is so that you can have and possess this uncommon, common salvation. It was hanging in the balance. And the reason I want to stress that, because I don't want you to go out from here today thinking your eternal salvation is hanging in the balance determined by what you do. 1,000 times no. It was determined by what Christ did. And he did it and he accomplished it and he kept the law to absolute perfection in the sight of God. And I say, if God is satisfied with the life of Christ, you and I should be too. So even though he was the only begotten Son of God, he stayed perfect his whole life, which I cannot even imagine. Not only did he obey every single time, he did everything he was supposed to do, he even did it with the right attitude. You know, you can do the right thing with the wrong attitude. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten up and just, and maybe you're 57 and you're not feeling as chipper. I should have said chipper a minute ago, maybe. Maybe you're not feeling as chipper as, and you have to make yourself, and you come to, you know, you need to go to church and you don't really want to, but you go anyway. Got a bad attitude, but you go anyway. Can you imagine Christ never did that? Can you imagine doing the right thing and always doing it for the right reason, for the right motive, for a holy motive? He never did anything for an ulterior motive. What? Can you imagine? Sometimes I'm nice to Becky in the hope she'll be nice to me. Every once in a while I hope she'll give me some of Chester's love, and it doesn't happen. Chester gets all the loving around our house, and I might be nice to Becky and hoping I might, you know, get a hug or something. Well, if I'm being nice to Becky for myself, am I really, you follow what I'm saying? Am I really being nice to her? Am I really thinking about her? Am I thinking about my own stinking hide? Well, Christ never did that. Never. Can you imagine such a Savior? I cannot imagine it. I'm trying to get you to see what your common salvation, which didn't cost you anything, cost your Lord. You talk about a downsizing. I just cannot imagine. And then at the end of his life, after this absolutely perfect, blemishless life, when people were mean to him and accusing him falsely, have you ever been accused falsely of anything? How easy is it to take that? How easy is it to stay chipper and upbeat when that's going on? Your Lord was accused falsely, and he never sinned as a result. Can you imagine? And then at the end of his life, he made atonement for the sins of all these sheep by suffering. The most horrible suffering God ever has or ever will inflict on any person, human or angel. This is what this common salvation, this uncommon common salvation cost your Lord, so that it cost you nothing. That's what grace is. It cost you nothing. My friends, listen, you didn't have to do, not only you didn't have to do anything to get it, you couldn't do anything to get it. You had to be given this salvation in order to be able to do anything. You think the Lord didn't know that? The reason I say that God inflicted on Christ a suffering like he will never inflict on any other being, human or angel, is because Christ suffered for all of the sins of all of the sheep. They were all imputed to him. He wasn't just suffering for one man's sin. Can you imagine? And I say salvation is by the grace of God. This common salvation is very uncommon because it's by the grace of God. It was bought by Christ, paid for by Christ. It's the most expensive, costly, precious thing in the universe, given to you freely by God the Father and bought for you by Christ and imputed to you or applied to you, as it were, by the Holy Spirit in regeneration. That's how this works. Isn't it great? It's, you know, so when it says common salvation, it doesn't mean blasé, boring, mundane, or of no value, does it? It just means it's common to all the sheep, and it's the most incredibly uncommon thing you ever heard of in your life, if you understand what I'm saying. And now, the fourth thing I wanted to mention to you. Well, the fourth thing I want to mention is that, in a sense, I love to think of this salvation as being the common salvation, because it actually does The word common meaning belonging to many, right? Belonging to more than one. This eternal salvation, which is not a gospel salvation, but an eternal salvation purchased and bought and paid for by the work and life and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Given to all the sheep in common. It is the common salvation in that it actually does belong to all equally. Now, there's a sense in which that is not true yet. But when this thing is finally fulfilled, when it's all said and done, and when it's all over, and all the sheep are with God where He is. Can you imagine that? By the way, Christ downsized so that we could upsize, I guess. Is that what you call it? You don't call it upsizing, do you? I don't really know what you call that. Anyway, to put it as He became poor that we might be made rich. Is it not incredible? This great salvation is actually going to be common to all the sheep. In other words, they are all going to possess it. They are every person, every one of the sheep is going to possess it equally. And that is described in Romans chapter 8 when we are called joint heirs with Christ. Listen to me. There are not going to be levels in heaven. There are not going to be little cabins in the corner of glory land. And then big mansions over here on the hilltop. Listen to me very carefully. A lot of well-meaning people believe that. There aren't going to be little cabins over here for the person that didn't live such a good life. And then a big mansion over here in glory for the person that really lived a good life. That is not going to happen. Let me tell you why. Because this common salvation was bought by the uncommon life of our Lord and Savior. It is bought and paid for by what Christ did. What you are going to receive in heaven is not going to be because of what you've done in any way whatsoever. It's going to be given to you based upon the absolutely perfect life and death and resurrection of Christ. Every person in heaven is going to be possessed of all that heaven is. That's what joint heirs means. Joint heirs with Christ means whatever Christ has, all of the sheep will have. That sounds like a common salvation to me. All the sheep are going to have everything that Christ has in common. They all are going to have it in common because it's bought by the blood of Christ. It's not based upon what we do. Every person in heaven will possess everything that heaven is. Now, I don't know. I know we talk about little cabins in the corner of glory land, and we talk about mansions. I kind of doubt it, to be honest with you. Here's what who's going to give a care whether we have a cabin or a mansion? That's a terrible thing to say. But who's going to care when we're in heaven? All we're going to care about. I told Becky, all we're going to care about is falling at Jesus' feet. That's it. That's all we're going to care about is loving Christ and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and drawing near to Him and hugging His neck. I'm telling you, that's what we're going to worry about. I'm not even going to worry about Becky, y'all listen to me. I'm going to know Becky up there, but it's going to be like God knows her. I thought about this. I'm telling her about this. Heaven's going to be so great because I will not love Becky like I love her now. And you will not love your wife or husband like you love them now. And you won't love your children like you love them now. You will love them way better. You will love them like God loves them. It's going to be an upgrade. Isn't that crazy? I don't know how it gets any better than that. So, this eternal salvation, which is not common to everybody, but it's common to the sheep, and it's not a gospel salvation because the gospel is not common to all the sheep. When we are in possession of everything that Christ bought and paid for on our behalf, see, He bought and paid for it for you. When we are in possession of it, we're all going to be on an equal footing. Heaven is bought by the righteousness of Christ and given to you by the grace of God. Now, is grace great or what? I mean, it blows my mind. So, okay, I'm done. I appreciate your great attention. You're just a great congregation. I thank God for you. Thank God for the opportunity for us to meet together and discuss the common salvation given to all the elect. Through the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's the most precious uncommon thing in the universe. Anyway, if you'd like to, if this has rung your bell or meant anything to you, and you'd like to take up the cross and follow Christ in water baptism, we give you that opportunity.